Sky Carumba, January 1st to 7th, 2023. Happy New Year! Earth's at perihelion this week. It always amazes me how so many Northern Hemisphere residents can't understand how it's so cold when the planet is closest to the sun. Didn't they hear? It's summer in the Southern Hemisphere. If Earth's distance from the sun had much to do with the seasons, it couldn't be different seasons at the same time in different places. Two things are making it cold far north of the equator this time of year. First, the sun shines more obliquely. Not as much heat energy comes out of those light beams and into the environment when the sun is so low in the sky. That's why the warmest part of the day is usually when the sun's highest in the sky. Sometimes a strong weather system blows warmer or colder air into a region at different times of day, but most days the sun overhead will make you feel warmer than the sun rising or setting. Likewise, the sun at high noon in the summer will make you feel warmer than the sun at high noon in the winter. Second, you get less sunlight in the winter, so there's not as much to warm things up anyway, no matter what angle it shines in on. And those longer nights mean your part of the planet loses more heat. It radiates it out into space. The longer that cold darkness is above you, the more heat you lose. Clouds do help a little bit in trapping some of that heat in. Earth is 147 million kilometers, or 91.4 million miles from the sun on Wednesday this week. On July 6th this year, it will be at aphelion, 152.1 million kilometers, or 94.5 million miles away. If the distance changed a lot more, it would have a noticeable effect on the seasons, because we would get substantially less solar heat during part of the year. Mercury is also at perihelion this week. On Monday, it will be 46.1 million kilometers, or 28.6 million miles from the sun. Its next aphelion is on February 15th, when it will be 69.9 million kilometers, or 43.4 million miles away. That's a very big swing, but I don't have any information on just how much the temperature changes on Mercury. It doesn't have seasons as we define them anyway, since it has no atmosphere. Mercury had a close pass by Venus last week, and it's still an evening object. To see it, you have to look early this week. It is quickly dropping below Venus and heading sunward for inferior conjunction on Saturday. You have to look before darkness completely sets in after sunset. Venus moves into the stars of Capricornus by week's end. Saturn's on the opposite side of that constellation. The two planets will be close toward the end of the month. Jupiter is near the meridian at sunset. Mars is high above the horizon in the east as darkness begins. Compare its orange color to that of Aldebaran in the Hyades V. For weeks, the red planet has been steadily marching toward the Pleiades, but I've been telling you not to expect it to go all the way. This is the week when it slows down, goes stationary, and prepares to turn around. A nearly full moon passes by Mars on the 3rd. For some viewers, it passes right over Mars. By some accounts, this occultation isn't as good as the one a month ago, which was when Mars was at opposition and the moon was all the way full. That one happened entirely overnight. About a third of this one happens in the daytime, making it impossible to see. But if you're on the southern half of the African continent, on Madagascar, or on a boat or island in the western Indian Ocean, you're in the visibility zone for this one. The moon is full on Friday, about 20 hours after it reaches 27.4 degrees north of the equator. And my thanks to you listeners who were concerned about my long-lasting cold. I wasn't actually sick all of last month. I record several of these podcasts at one time, so a nasal sound that plagued me for a few days was extended a full month on this program. Sky Carumba,